Hey everyone, happy Thursday. I'm continuing this series on where the modern person stumbles, at least a few more episodes. Again, as you get into it, this has happened to me over and over. So now I don't ever say like, oh, it's going to be a four-part series, because oftentimes once I get in it and I get researching and I get exploring a topic, I start to realize, oh man, this well is far deeper than I previously thought. So I try to leave room for that. Well, also at the same time, as I'm formulating what this podcast looks like this year, I found that I really missed interviewing people. And so I had Julian Dallas on last week, great, great podcast about attachment styles and polyvagal theory. And I just realized how much it really breathes life into me to interview people. And so I don't want to say regularly, but probably pretty regularly, I'm going to have guests on here to do long form interviews. And so I stuck today's guest on today specifically because, one, we're offering a workshop as men, well, as people, I think, but we're going to focus on men because of it's what we are. We tend to get stuck in the underworld in our lives, right? We tend to get stuck in darkness, and we start to fold in on ourselves, and we start to fall into all of these habits that do not serve who we're here to be in the world. And because of that, me and Angelo Sisco, today's guest, are doing a workshop. He coaches men, and so he's got a really good method for helping men try to navigate themselves out of this darkness. All of the workshops I do, at least for this year, are going to be pay what you want. So I do not want payment to be a barrier to entry to self-improvement if you're really into it. So that being said, I'm going to link up that workshop in the show notes of this episode. Today, Angelo and I do discuss the process of, man, what happens as men when we do get stuck in darkness? And I think probably for women, there'll be something here because we talk about it in terms of energy. It's much more in terms of masculine and feminine dynamics. And so if you are interested in this episode, or if you're someone that does tend to get stuck in these self-loathing patterns, then I would encourage you to come to that workshop. Also, it's worth understanding that this is a place that the modern person does tend to stumble. Like, you know, what we're going to talk about is how you get out of there. How do you get out of that darkness, that self-loathing, that self-sabotage, that caving in on self quicker? But I've spent months there. I've spent months cycling, right? And so where does the modern person stumble? Well, in the darkness of their own lives, their own selves. And so that's what we're going to talk about today with Angelo Sisco, who is the owner of Alpha Hippie. I'll link up his whole business in the show notes of this episode as well. And then we're going to continue this series tomorrow with more of the morning coffee short form type episodes. So that's enough rambling. Without further ado, on to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. Today, I am joined by one of my best friends in this world, Angelo Sisco. Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Rick Alexander, record or not record, talking to you is a joy of my life.
Totally. Sometimes we go new places. Sometimes we explore things I haven't thought about. Sometimes we explore things I've been thinking for a long time about. In any case, it's always fruitful. So I always appreciate your time and your feedback, especially now as we were talking a little bit about pre-show. You're like really getting into this idea of communication, right? Communication rehab, I think you're calling it on your channel, the Alpha Hippie channel. What can you give me a little bit of idea about what that is? What's the goal there? What's the purpose?
Yeah, what a great question. And thank you for my plug already, you beautiful man. Anyways, all right, so This is the truth, or at least this is my truth, and this is why I'm bringing this to the awareness. A lot of my growth as a person, this is selfish first. I put my mask on before I put on any other person's mask, has come through me learning the realization that talking helps me become more.
Become more of who you are?
More, period. More of who I'm meant to be, more understanding of where I'm at, more understanding of humans, just more. Like, you know, I don't like to use such general terms. And at the same time, yes, like name it, yes, right? Mm. When I'm able to talk. And for most of my life, I was never able to really communicate well. And that led me down a lot of challenges that I didn't need to face, could have been better at once I faced them, and really realized then as soon as I was able to communicate better, my life was better. Because when I communicate to myself better, the people around me better, when I'm in leadership roles, relationship roles, everything's just better. And then I realized that for many men, because of our growing up and doing things and, you know, a lot of that, we are not taught the proper tools of communicating our emotions and our feelings. And when we look at the biggest, you know, disorders that a lot of people struggle with, they have a lot to do with our inability to speak and grow as men. Right. You know, and I'm sure you felt this on many directions. I've met quite a few people in the veteran community, and their biggest challenge is they just don't know how to talk about their feelings and their experiences properly. And so they hold on to them.
Mm.
And so a lot of what we've been putting out there is really helping people see the opportunity of understanding awareness, which could lead to more liberation. And that comes through education and self-reflection, wisdom, that we are able to grow and really be in a better position. And so I've really dove a lot into that over these last years, personally and professionally. And then a lot of what we're putting out now is communication rehab, because I have a joke that, you know, we're communication cripples.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm here to get, you know, do my part as like physical therapist to get you out of rehab.
Right. I get it. Got it. Yeah. So that's funny because I think, well, it's not funny. You say it's a joke, but it's like also reality is that men are stuck behind their ability to communicate. Like the amount of misunderstood people. And oftentimes we have an agenda for the show that I definitely want to get to, but I do find this to be super fascinating, especially because what we're doing right now is a communication medium, right? So however we communicate is how we are. So however people hear this, it's like, well, that's us to them. So our ability to take the contents of who we are and present that to people in a digestible way, in an empowering way. Like those things are super important. One thing I found is that the environment that you're in that's forging whoever you are oftentimes has what's acceptable. You brought up veterans, for example, right? There are certain emotions that are unacceptable to have, to expose yourself to, or to express, I'm sorry, while you're in the military. And so one of those would be like fear, like you really can't be afraid, right? And now there's really healthy ways to be afraid, and you got to kind of own what you are, because if you don't, you end up with this sort of disintegrated character. But because I think all these different environments that we expose ourselves to don't allow us to express certain things that we feel, it's like I heard a neuro researcher one time say, like, as far as the ability to communicate what you're feeling, if you don't use it, you do lose it. Like you just don't have it. You don't develop it. And so the more you go on with your life, the further away from yourself and what you're actually feeling you get if you've not learned to express these things. So I think that the work you're doing is massively important for people, especially men.
Thank you, brother. I'm here to serve and do my part.
Cool. So the reason I wanted to jump on another conversation is people that have been listening to my show for a long time have heard you a few times. And I think this might be our fourth time on my show, something like that. The last one, though, that we did was interesting because you were moving from Chicago to California. And so we have a decent amount of new listeners. And so for those of you that haven't gone back and listened, we talked really about Angelo's his call to adventure and his ability to live out this hero's journey that he's on, and how he's, you know, we're always sort of in flux where we're ending one journey and that's the beginning of another. And oftentimes if we try to stay in that happy ending, we end up in this static place, and our soul is asking us to evolve. It's asking us to go in a different direction. And so we have to learn to listen to that, though we might want to cling to what's safe. And so last time we had a chat, you were really learning to let go of one journey and step into the next one. And then you and I were having a conversation, I guess it was about a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, where you were talking to me and you're like, man, I think you used the words addicted to the hero's journey. Was that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that. Yeah, that's right. You lust for it. That's the word you use. So I want to talk about that because I think that, you know, there's as men, I think I it might be true for women. I just cannot speak to the women, the female experience. But for men, there's something in me that yearns for an adventure to live always. And if I'm not living that adventure, that madness inside gets expressed in really unhealthy ways. And so I've learned to like really poke at danger and put myself in chaos. So I wanted to just kind of talk about this topic in more of like an open dialogue type way, not really keeping to anything, but just for people that are living their lives 2 inches below the surface, right? They got that quiet desperation that Thoreau talks about. I want to have a good conversation about what that means for you, how you came about that. And that way, for people that are listening to this, if you see yourself in this journey, it might give you some ideas about where you should step next.
Yes. To one quick thing that I did notice too along this, as far as the men, I do believe that they are more than likely, I don't feel that women aren't into the hero's journey. What I do feel though, is that women like a longer, more stable diving board. And that's why it takes them longer to get into theirs. And we love springboard. Like, you get it? Like, men just want to get out there. They don't care if it's a little shaky, we'll jump. The more female population likes the more stable dive board, right? We're all seeking freedom. We're all seeking to be that inner hero. Women usually just require more stability, which makes it feel like they might not be into the journey, or they just get super comfortable in that stable block because you could lay there and you don't have to move. But if you've ever springboarded, you get to that end. Jumping is actually safer than standing there. And more on the springboard side of things. Whole nother podcast. See you guys in 3 months on that. Let's get back to the lust of the journey though for right now. Yeah. So for me, brother, I went through this journey recently, as you mentioned, in my most aware state of being alive, right? I may have done this multiple times in my life, yet I didn't know the stages, didn't understand it. And so I wasn't able to really appreciate it and be in it, feel it, and recognize it versus just doing it. And so we, like you mentioned, man, we made this amazing move across the country, right? We're in California. And for a few months, I was in heaven. Very much, I don't want to spoil it, how your book really opens up, right? It's like, yay, okay, so you ride out to sunset, and now what?
Right. You're still in the sunset. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're riding with your chick out in the sunset. And then what's life supposed to be like? Right. Mm. Because you never see that part, like you mentioned in your book. You don't see that in the movie. You see him ride out and go, that's what life's supposed to be like.
Right.
You get that one big woof, and then nothing, it just stays that way. And I will tell you something. Staying that way, I thought was the answer. It sucks.
It's death, right? That's what death
is. It's death. You become the super, for me, like the super comfortable, uninspired. Yeah, it's just, yeah, you're right. It's, for me, it's death. And I really experienced that. Like, you know, and what really shows up for me is at first it was ultimate euphoria. We're in heaven every day. We're in heaven every day. And then for me, self-deprecation, right? So for me, self-deprecation leads into depression or darkness. And then that's that part of the journey. But
that's your cycle.
Yes.
Okay.
Like that's what it is. It's subtle self-deprecation. Usually physically, Like, as you mentioned, you know, I'll go like on an eating bender. Like, no longer will I go to the grocery store and buy one pint of ice cream. I'm getting the big, like, you know, all week you're having ice cream. You're
Right,
not
right.
having an ice cream treat tonight. You're good Monday through Friday. It's becoming a full-time job. Like, I just started doing things like that. I'll get a little sloppy. I'll take a shower, you know, whenever I think it's been way too long. And then you're just like, wait, is this still the same towel I've had since last week to dry myself off? You animal, you animal, right? And also too, I enjoy the cannabis, and that could be just like, you know, I'm usually a 1 to 3 drag a day, just keeping me going and flowing. Yet, you know, when I go down these spells, it's one joint a
Yeah, smoking
day.
way too much weed. You know what's fascinating about that too is our shadows. I think a lot of people, you talk about this heaven idea, a lot of people don't ever reach heaven because they don't understand that the gate is in the shadow, right? You've got to go toward the shadows. And so what's interesting about this process for you is that you're starting to cycle in a negative way. Right. And what's actually happening is your soul is inviting you. This dissonance that's starting to occur, this self-sabotage, like you're being invited to level up in some way, I think. That's what it sounds like from the outside.
Yes.
That's what it feels
And
like.
just, yeah. And just like everything, you know, or most things is you get to a place that is the depth of that darkness. And I will say the older, and especially I just recently came out of a tour of this.
Tour of hell.
Yeah. Tour of hell. You recognize it quicker.
Totally.
And I was able to really understand how to get it out of quicker. And so what's really great to know is you will not stop deviating, just the depth of your deviations as you mature and become more aware should be smaller to the line that you are trying to really go. Right. But it's like the stock market, though, there will be the deviations. And this time around, my deviation was way less than what it would have been the last time I went through the cycle. And that's the victory for me as far as my self-growth as well. So it's recognizing that I'm in love with the hero's journey and that. Even in those, even but now my self growth has grown so much. My version of hell and darkness is much better than what it used to be, as far as self destruction and some of the other choices that I've made in my life that would not serve me at this time.
Totally. And I think that's actually something important to highlight too, because I think we get this idea in Western culture that we do development work to vanquish our troubles, to vanquish the darkness, to vanquish, you know, to get rid of it once and for all, to be done, as we've been talking about, arrive at the sunset. And so the recognition that that's not it, actually, you're learning to dance with it because this shit ain't going anywhere, right? So this is not going to go away for you. And so you're a human. And so you have all of the predilections, characteristics of humanity. And unfortunately, that includes darkness too, fortunately or unfortunately. And so it is learning to dance with that hell, dance with those shadows, dance with those demons that I think is the real hallmark of growth work, right? Because otherwise, you're not growing, you're just going through a time where you're not in it yet, right? Like that's when you know you grew. Anybody can treat themselves well when they're not spinning down toward the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I call you're still on the sidelines. No wonder your jersey looks so good and everything is so great. You're not even in the game, bro.
And so what's getting in the game for you?
Getting in the game is going through there and recognizing the stages when they're coming and understanding how to, you know, what are some things that you could do to really heal yourself. So that you could get in the game, or not get in the game, but get back on offense, because that's kind of what you do is you're not even in the game, But then you start the game in on defense, and then the game is getting back on offense, right? Because when you really look at the cycles of things, that's what you really want. And then if you really want to just back that up even more, there's nothing going on. There's then you move to feminine energy, which is inward energy, which there's no action. That's what I mean by defense. And then you move into taking action, which is the ultimate expression of masculine energy. And that's the cycle, right? Like if you really wanted to know the, you know, you go, boom, destroy nothing, right? Then there's inward, and then you get it to go outward. Boom, inward, outward. And that's the energy shift of the hero's journey.
Yeah, and that inward is, as you said, feminine, the down and in. It's also chaos, right? It's potential in its most undefined manner. It's everything. It's hell, right? And so that chaos, one of the reasons I think that, one of the reasons that masculine and feminine energy need to coexist together, regardless of gender dynamics, but within a one single human being, is because you've got potential. And that's the feminine, and that's what you slip into hell. It's like, now you're in it. Now there's everything is possible from this point. And unfortunately, everything is also nothing. It's not until it meets that masculine energy of being directive, of being scheduled, of being whatever it is you think of when you think of like a true healthy masculine, you know, those things together, that's how the potential becomes something in the world. It gets manifested. And so I think it's interesting that you talk about that part of the phase. Because what you're really dealing with there is all of this creative potential, and your shadow contains incredible creative potential, which is one of the reasons why artists self-destruct in order to create, because they don't know how to get into the shadow any other way.
1000%, right, dude? And the thing is, man, this might be the quote card of the show. You ready? The road out of hell is through communication.
Why do you say that?
Because it's an inward energy. Thoughts and words is feminine. It's inward.
It's all directed at self.
And so you can't propel yourself into masculine energy, actions, and habits without being able to communicate well. That is the real key then. It's like, I never even said it that way, but now it makes more sense to me, like why I'm so in love with communication, because that was my pathway out of hell. And for anyone, I'm willing to bet your inability to even decipher your thoughts, work through them, speak through them, communicate through them is why you haven't done the things. Because doing the things is relatively easy. Chop wood, carry water, like, right? Like, we know what to do, right? If you're a painter, you paint. Right. If you dance, you dance. But what stops you is that hell and inability to do the thought and communication game, the inward game, the expression game. Most of us, it's about skill, and the other stuff is about self-esteem and inward dialogue and all that stuff. And so, yeah, the road out of hell is through communication.
Just man, is. You know what that brings up for me too, is when I'm thinking about, when I'm in these phases of, we'll call it hell, as we're using it here, and I'm like, let's say what my body's wanting me to do is go into, like you said, eating, self-destructive, go into a porn hole, like really just hate myself, fall apart, find the bottom, maybe bounce off the bottom if I can. And in fact, when I was in the military, one of my coping mechanisms, because I didn't know how to get out of there and I didn't know how to be more gentle with myself, is that I would just put it all on turbo, right? All the bad food, all the drugs, all the porn. Well, drugs, not so much because I was in the military, but I would just try to bounce off the bottom. And I've seen this with many men, like that is the coping mechanism. You don't know what's got you. Psychologically, it's a complex that seems to have you, but you're going to go through this. What's interesting, what that brought up for me is this idea that when I'm in that, I'm so folded inward. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want commitments. I don't want shit. I don't want anything outward whatsoever. And so this idea that actually, but you've got to learn to lean into that outward communication in order for this cycle to, in order for this potential to be manifested in some way in your life so that you can start back on the road up.
Right. Because the doing is not going to get you out of there. It's only going to maybe numb you, yet make you worse off there, right? And the doing could be just like, don't get it twisted. The things me and you have said about our self-deprecating is one thing, but you people have to understand, these are being a workaholic is the same thing.
Totally. Right? Whatever your thing is. Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's the act of doing and more than likely overdoing that is the thing that's stopping you from actually beating the darkness, the hell, the depression, the anxiety. It's because you're just trying to do your way out of it. And it's how can you get through a form of toxic femininity by just using masculine energy? You have to get divine femininity first, right? Beautiful, nurturing, trusting of yourself, reaffirming grace, gratitude, then you could go out there and take care of business and do, because then you're doing from alignment in the right place.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too. Funny is not the right adjective. I got to get into communication rehab. You know, what's interesting is that the world will, they will validate your shadows in many cases, right? And so workaholic, for example, like our culture loves to celebrate that, right? For me, for a while, it was drinking. And then when drinking stopped, it just didn't work. The escape button, I pressed it too many times, didn't work anymore. So then it became running. Well, then the world celebrates the hell out of it, right? And they're like, how do you do this? How do you run these? I'm like, I will kill myself out there. That's how, because I have no regard for myself because I'm trying to escape my life. And so, coming to terms with the fact that a lot of these things that will have you in their grip, some of these animating energies that are more negative, that are approximating hell, the world might celebrate those, you know? And so it might be your journey. Like, you might have to break from the patterns of the world in order to live out your specific hero journey. And what I think is interesting too, is you were talking to me about how this time it came to you, you did communicate your way out of it a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about that, because people do get stuck in the grips of these demons, and they don't necessarily know how to get out other than letting the cycle complete itself by bouncing off the bottom. Unfortunately, when that's your way of coping, it's very hard to keep growing, right? It's very hard to progress because you're just gonna have to keep living that cycle out. And so how did you this time work your way out of there?
After you and I had this conversation, my subconscious went into a little spin and I came up with a formula.
Mm.
And I'd love to share it with you.
Please.
Okay. So I brought this up and we're going to go deeper. Once you get into these phases of chaos and it's destructive, you are in toxic femininity. I know people don't want to say that it's only masculine. Right. No, right? But there's toxic femininity.
Toxic everything.
Okay, right? And because depression, darkness, whatever you want to call it, is rage turned inward. That's from The Sopranos, by the way, that idea of inward. So if it's an inward energy, it's a feminine energy. It's a feminine expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm all the way over here on one side, imagine my left hand, if you're listening, it's TF. And my goal is to get to action, which would be that masculine side across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just jump over to there. There must be steps of healing to get me to divine femininity and then step over into the divine masculine, right? And even, you know, just whatever form of masculine to get me moving again properly, right? With intention. So what I looked at is, how do I move to this spectrum? What do I need to do? So the first thing is you must give yourself grace. Grace is loving acceptance. You lovingly accept where you are right now, because that means you remove judgment.
Mm. So it's a more healthy feminine. It's what you're doing.
That's step one with the feminine. Yes. Phase two in the feminine is gratitude, which is loving thankfulness. You must thank that moment or moments of darkness, because without it, you would have never been able to know that you were there and who you really were and what you were going through. You must be grateful that you've been through that experience, because without that experience, you would have never known how strong you really are and how important that is. Then you move into the last phase of what I call the feminine side before you get into the masculine energy side, which is affirming that you know that you are the hero, giving yourself the self-esteem now. Okay? Now, inward, you are great because you lovingly accept yourself. You're not judging yourself. You have gratitude for your darkest times. You don't hate them. You don't run away from them. You're not, you have beyond acceptance. You love them. You love the devil. You love your darkness. Then you affirm that you are the hero. And then you move into now what masculine support looks like. Okay, so now you need masculine support. You got through that first phase. Now you got to get on offense. You got to start scoring. But you usually don't start scoring right away. You need to get the ball. You need an assist. So how do you get the ball? Someone's got to pass it to you. You have to find some form of brotherhood or strong masculine energy that's stable and not just trying to solve your problem for you. And so this is where even being a better communicator is really important, because you want to be able to surrender and lean on a strong masculine presence. That's why I called you and three other people. And most of the time, I don't even say what's going on. I just like being around the juice of stable men that I know that could support me. Like I talked to Brother Jeff DePate 15 minutes. Right. And all I wanted to do was smell him. I wanted to be around that energy, right? Because I just went through that, and then put me around some iron and just let me stand around you guys. You guys will sharpen me up. And then I know how to do. I know how to express me. I just needed that arrow to look like an arrow again. And then I'm out. I go take care of business. And so that's the formula, is grace, gratitude, affirming, leaning on strong masculine energy, and then using that to sharpen you into your expression. And that's how you get out of depression. Any of those toxic femininity, dark times. And that's literally the application or formula. And it could be translated any which way you could do it. You could write yourself a letter. You could, any way you want to get to those things, yet getting to those feelings in that exact order is the formula to move out of this position.
Yes. Okay. So I love that, because when you're in that, as you describe, toxic feminine energy, which for a male specifically, really what's happening here, and I think this show will probably be kind of directed at men since it's the experience we're talking through. But for men, one thing that happens is if you relate to the world through your feminine, right? You have an anima, that's your feminine in a male. And so that's your source of creativity and nurturing and love and the things that you need in the world to like really love people, right? And like be a whole human being. But if you relate to the world through your feminine, you're moody, right? You're up and you're down. It's a miserable way for a male to live, is to relate completely through the feminine to the outside world. Well, one of the other things that happens when you're doing that is you're stuck in this, as you said, toxic feminine. You're like, what do I do? You're just like, I don't know what to do. Someone just fucking tell me what to do. And it wouldn't matter if they did, because you know exactly what to do, as you said, at the end of that cycle. It's like, that's not your problem. You do know exactly what to do. Your problem is doing it. Your problem is you're stuck in this toxic cycle that's keeping you from who you're here to be. And so having, as you laid out these steps, and just like a way to, I love that your first step was grace, because I think that what happens is you fall into these cycles. A lot of them are based in shame and guilt and fear. And so you don't even see yourself in those times as someone that's worthy of making it to that healthy masculine role. And that's your real fucking problem.
Yes.
So
keep judging yourself deeper and darker away from
totally
getting into the game.
Yep. And so the idea that step one is like just trying to show grace is like everything. And then gratitude is cool too, because like for the longest time, I thought when I would hear people talk about attitude of gratitude and this cliche stuff, I was just like, get out of my face with that, right? And what's really happening though is you can't build a foundation on anything else, right? If you're not happy, if you can't show appreciation for where you are in quicksand. There's nothing to build from in that place. Even if what you have is minimal, right? Even if what you have is almost nothing, it's got to be something, because you've got to have a foundation to build out of. And so that gratitude piece, incredibly important as well.
Yeah. And then you have that moment of affirming, like imagine your mom going, like your coolest version of your mom going, you know, you're the best, you know, like for me too, it's like, I love songs. Like you want to talk about like one of my favorite pump up songs is Simply the Best by Tina Turner. Like I just love, and the truth is I know why that stuff's a hit, because we really love the idea of a nurturing, warm, loving mom or woman feeling just your girl going, you're the best, you know. Or there's a Carly Simon song called No One Does It, Nobody Does It Better. She goes, you know, how'd you learn to do the things you do, right? You want a beautiful feminine nurture, even women do, to say that about them, you know. And so I have a playlist of music that helps me shift my energy when I'm feeling that way, because I want to be in charge of being the DJ of my energy. And right. So I even find music during these healing times that anchor in that feeling, because then I feel that vibration. But that for me is, that's the affirming part, is when she's like, you're the best thing ever. And then you go, I am. I'm worthy to go be around those other lions out there.
Right. Okay, so you're touching on something I want to get into, because I found it to be massive for me as well. Because what you're doing with this music, it sounds like, please correct me if I'm wrong, what it sounds like you're doing with this music though is, you might think of a broken masculine as the person that does go back to his mommy for that, right? What you need to do is you need to catalyze that within yourself, right? Yes. You've got to awaken to the fact that you're the one, right? In my book, I say, you know, who you become when you realize that no one is coming to save you, that's who you were meant to be. That's what's happening right there, is you're catalyzing that rescue energy in yourself. And so that you can be a whole human, so that you don't need to go back to mommy. Because what happens oftentimes is we go back to the feminine for these things. And maybe it's not mom, right? Because you might project that mom image onto your lover or someone else. And what's happening there is that you're trying to receive something from them that they're not, right? Turning your lover into your mom is going to become an issue after a while. And so you've got to learn to become that for yourself, or you'll never be able to be the masculine energy that she needs. Does this sound right? So with this music, you're catalyzing that within your own psyche and soul.
Yeah, it's like I use neuro-linguistic programming technique called anchoring, and it helps me feel those feelings. And so what I've really just come to do is think about a song or two, like you said, like, okay, so I would want my mom to do the grace, right? Like, cause that's where you really learn to even give yourself grace or not, is from that motherly figure. So pick a song that would remind you of your most warmest mother, right? Mm. And then to me, then you progress to where, you know, when you want to affirm the man or that person that you are, it's more likely like your lover. Like, what would you want her, like she said, you know, simply the best, better than all the rest. I'm stuck on his heart. I hang on every word he says. Tear us apart, baby, I'd rather be dead. That's the words of Simply the Best. Nice. And then I think I'm the coolest dude on earth, right?
Yep.
And then then you know you could go back out there and be with the other alphas that you were scared to be with, let's call it, totally. Right?
Or not now worthy, you, not feeling you were worthy.
Not worthy, of. Right, yeah, right? You, and now you know that you are worthy. That's where the self-esteem to get into the game, that you know you're ready to take the hits and that they're only going to make you better now if they come. Mm. Because you remember who you are. I yeah. remember who I am. And then, like I said, the ending part, taking action, expressing me, being me.
You can do that.
Piece of cake.
Right, right. As long as you feel worthy to. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a book called Power versus Force. Have you read this?
Oh, my goodness. Daryl something. Yeah, it's up there. So, oh, it's right there. Oh, my God. I'm pointing to it.
Hawkins. Yeah, so Dawkins, yeah. So one of the things I love about that book is it gave language to the idea of like a vibrational energy and frequency. And so what one of the ideas he posits in that energy is, or in that book, is that there are certain words you use which are, I guess, which are equal with certain kinds of energy, right? And so you can think about like self-deprecating energy and talking shit to yourself. And like, that's a certain vibrational frequency that's putting out into the world. And that's also putting within yourself. Well, one thing that's really cool about that book is he also talks about how different music will line up at different vibrational frequencies. And once you become, I don't know, once you become aware of this fact, one thing you'll start to realize is that like the things you're putting into your mind really matter. Like I'm more protective over what goes into my mind than anything else in the world. Like I will not listen to commercials. Like I'm just not accepting of anybody else's energy. And so when you're just something I'm kind of talking through as we're talking here, but when you're in these patterns of hell, when you're in these like negative patterns, starting to find energy that you do want to emulate that might be above where you're at, can't hurt to listen to. Right? To like go for a walk, clear your mind, listen to music, start like just trying to wake up the parts of yourself that are the hero.
Yes. 100%, you know, and you know, when I hear the song for Grace, I cry.
Mm. Totally.
Right? Just sitting in a corner, just crying. And then gratitude is a different kind of cry.
Right.
Right. And then that affirming, you know, gets me ready to move. And then I go lean a little bit on the movers. And then I remember that I'm a mover.
Mm. Something that's come up in this conversation as we've been talking through it is this idea that, you know, I look around in the world and what I see is a real lack of men, like real healthy masculine men. And yes. I say that, I'm not even going to try to skirt some sort of political correctness on this. This is what I see out in the world. I see men that leave their obligations, that don't take responsibility for who they are. And I don't think that's any fault of the men until it is, right? Because they're raised by somebody and they're, so this cycle has been, this has been brewing in our culture for a very, very long time. And one of the things I began to realize is like, if you look around, so I get engaged with Danielle, I'm like, you know, it's time. Like it's time to like step up to the plate and be the guy, you know, be the person. One thing that's come up as we've been talking about this is like this cycle that you're talking through and your ability to work through this cycle of chaos that comes into your life. It is massively important simply for the fact that what the world needs is men, right? And so your lover needs that masculine energy. Well, if you can't be that, if you're relying on her to try to figure out how to get you out of hell, what's happening is you're asking her to be something she's not. We're all being things we're not, and we're growing resentful, and we're not playing our part well, and the whole thing is crumbling. And you can see society is in, it's in disarray right now, and there's no structure, and structure is masculine specifically. And yes. Not now, I think that the uprising, let's say, of people that aren't considered to be in the patriarchy, I think that's a generally good thing, because what the patriarchy did is not display a healthy masculine over enough time. And so you put a certain thing into the world and you get that thing back. And that's what's happening right now. But I don't think the answer is to stomp on and disavow men. The answer is to learn how to be really good men. And so this conversation that we're having, and also this cycle that you're mentioning, the ability to do that just seems so important if you have any strive to be that masculine figure in people's lives.
Well, now you know why I moved out to California to pursue this. I really deeply understand this, and this is what I really teach men. I can't believe you even said this. My affirmation as a guide is I show men the dance. I teach men the dance of what being this divine masculine
You're saying to
really
dance?
look the no, the dance. Because
What's the dance?
it's the dance of life. Because here's the deal. I don't care what year it is, you study dance, men lead the dance if you dance with a partner. And you do not lead like tyrant. You lead with gentle subtleties in order to create beauty around your external or beauty with your partner. You do it softly, subtly, with poise and confidence and openness, all the while knowing that you are leading this beautiful world or woman in hopes to be more expressive, more expansive, and more beauty. And you do that with subtlety and then also by being stable too. See, like when Ro and I dance and she's got a soft arm, I give her just enough tension that she knows she needs to be stable here so I could turn her. Or when I'm about to turn her, I raise her hand up and I push just enough so she does it. I don't throw her arm. I don't do it with a tyrant, like a tyrant. I do it gentle with caress. Because when you do it that way, you get to impress. When you do it the other way, you're dark. And so that's why my affirmation and even the key aspect of what I feel that I do with men is I teach men the dance. The dance through these energies, the dance of what it's like to be a divine masculine. And then everything else, I know that once I teach them the dance, that they will know how to do the other stuff.
Right, the other stuff. Yeah, you know, man, I love that analogy. And I think we've chatted about this a bit before, and I'm taking dance lessons with Danielle for our wedding, which is great. But you know, I'm reading a book right now about tempering the masculine soul. And what tempering is you know, you have to become really aware of how badly you can hurt people. And so you've got to face your own faults. I posted something the other day. It's like we must own our faults so that we'll suffer enough so that we can learn how to love people properly. And so the tempering of the masculine soul is actually becoming aware of how, when you throw the arm, as you said, when you just come in there with that energy, what that does to your partner, what that does to you in return, what that does to the world. And men who haven't suffered enough, who haven't really, with their own ability to cause suffering, what happens is, as the book said, there's a sword hanging over everybody's throat, right? Because you're the most dangerous thing in the world is unrestrained power who doesn't understand his own power, right? It's like you one thing that you become, for example, is you become unaware of how badly you actually can hurt people, right? And so you're cut off to it. And so now you're taking this, which masculine, there's so much power in the masculine in directiveness and doing. You put that out into the world any old way without that gentleness, without that caress, without that grace that you're talking about. And you're just causing harm. And that harm will come back
Casualties.
generations.
Yeah, those are all the casualties. Those are all the things that people will wind up saying, oh, how many successful men go, oh, but my family really suffered the most because I was away. So basically, you chose your toxic masculinity to override, and now your family was the casualties. We saw a lot of this in our predecessors, like Andrew Carnegie, the man of steel, the man of U.S. Steel. Later on in his life, he felt so bad for what he did to steel workers and everything like that. He basically created the modern day billionaire philanthropist. Because that was his way to give back after what all he took and how he took it.
Really?
Right. Yeah. And it really comes out, you know, it really does. And I'm on a path to help men not to advance, because that is part of our what we do. Yet let's not do it with the casualties, so that we could be happy and the people that are assisting us also don't wind up with scars, right? Little deviation is possible is the game.
So something to start wrapping this up, that's exactly right, is, you know, though the world celebrates that power, right? Because that's what we talked about at the beginning. It's like the world might celebrate your bullshit. That's something to know. And this Carnegie Titan sounds like exactly what happened, right? The secret is that though the world might celebrate this, the tyrant is fucking miserable. Inside, outside. You can't buy that wholeness. It will elude you for the rest of your life, and you'll spend billions of dollars trying to get it back, and it won't be there.
Very much so. It is the what you wind up seeing in a lot of the Harvey Weinsteins, all these people, that they're not just ugly because they were born that way. I even believe your body even winds up more ugly
Oh, yeah.
and unhappy
Oh yeah,
because,
dark. That dark, like
yeah,
twisted, gnarledness. Yeah.
the eyes, all that
You
stuff.
see it in yourself. Do you see it in yourself when you're in these patterns?
For sure, I get bags under my eyes. I
Totally.
get, right? And your body's turning against you. You energetically turn into that. And so this is a real thing, man. This
Totally.
is, and so that's, you know, understanding this, you know, getting the support and all of those things that we mentioned, the communication, the formula, the getting that support, so that, because you know what to do. But
You know
just
what to
getting
do.
through all that other stuff, you know what to do.
Right.
You've already been successful. If you weren't successful, you would have never learned to walk.
Right.
You know how to win. You've already done it. Don't kid yourself. What we may not know is how to get out of our deviations, which takes skill, which takes courage, which takes admitting things that you may not want to do, facing things for what they really are and not calling them responsibilities, calling them fears, admitting your biggest shames and saying that you actually did that, like you said, recognizing that, yeah, I did sleep with that man's wife. I did do that.
Time to suffer.
I made that choice. And I knew I was making it when I did it. Right? And saying that about you and then going, and I still
Right.
You're
The story
not
can't end here.
a bad person. You made bad choices and now you know better. And that's all you could ask for in this world.
Totally. Yeah,
Right?
we'll shame our past versions for our whole life.
Yeah, Amazing Grace was written by a guy who was a slave trader.
Yeah, great book on that Newton guy as well. Yeah.
Right? And so think about that song. It saved a Grace saved a wretch like me.
Right.
I was once blind, but now I see.
Totally.
I didn't make these formulas up, you know what I mean? I just put them together. They were already all there, guys. I just package them.
Right. This idea of lusting for the journey, what you're lusting for is that growth, right? Because that's what, for us, for the human animal, that's where it happens. It's in that depth of despair. It's like learning to dance with it, as you said. And that's the process of leveling up. You cannot level up from the sidelines. You cannot grow from that place. You cannot get better from that place. So I really appreciate you sharing this with my audience and just being vulnerable about it. For people that see themselves in this story, how can they work with you or just learn more about you?
So my creative outlet is IamAlphaHippie.com, and I am Alpha Hippie for most handles and all that really good stuff. And then any of my personal stuff is just under my name, Angelo Cisco, or underscore Cisco, and all that good stuff.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you joining me.
Oh my goodness, I would do this all the time. I would play every day. I love you so much, and your audience, thank you so much for listening to this show. Your time and attention and devotion, even for you putting into your soul and listening to this show to be better, I am already applauded and much appreciate you and see you all. Thank you so much.